Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
For now, California will go back to establishing COVID protection protocols on a county-by-county basis. Governor Newsom says the rollback of stay-at-home restrictions means recreation and business can reopen. With caution, a 10 p.m. to 5 a.m. curfew is also being lifted. Some higher traffic venues, movie theaters, gyms, amusement parks are still remaining closed.
This is the Trevor Carey Show. On Power Talk 96.7 and AM 1400.
The effort to boot Gavin Newsom out of office is gaining steam. Critics now say he's not being transparent about some very important COVID data, leaving some critics demanding answers. However, the AP reported that a spokeswoman for the Department of Public Health said in an email to the Associated Press that at the moment, projections are not being shared publicly. State health officials say that data would possibly confuse or mislead the public, but critics argue that not releasing this information will actually lead to more public uncertainty.
That's the latest on the uncertainty. I could have sworn my whole life the reason I didn't like science was because I don't like data. I don't like facts, figures, you know, things like that. Data, boy. I can give you some data. These lockdowns were pure politics. They don't even care even a little bit that we know that. Now, you want to hear some good old politicking? Just give you an example using Joe Obama's words back during the campaign. This is back in September of 2020. Here's who Joe Biden blamed all the COVID deaths on.
If the president had done his job, from the beginning, all the people would still be alive. All the people, I'm not making this up, just look at the data. Look at the data. And as then, we're now being told there's going to be no, I pray to God there's a vaccine tomorrow that could be available to everyone.
Joe, we can't see the data, but anyhow, it was all Trump's fault back there. Joe Biden was going to change it with his big plan, right? If the president had just done his job, people wouldn't have died. Well, okay, he's president. Let's hear now. And tell me this isn't political. Come on.
If we fail to act, there will be a wave of evictions and foreclosures in the coming months. As this pandemic rages on, because there's nothing we can do to change the trajectory of the pandemic in the next several months.
Nothing we can do to change the trajectory in the next several months. But back in September, he's killing people. What has Joe Biden's plan been? Well, he was going to get a million vaccinations. Oh, Trump had already done that. Oops. Oh, we need to come up with something else. You know what? He's just plagiarizing the president's plan because it's really all that did, does, and will make sense when a virus is out there. The Dutch, oh man, over in the Netherlands, they got a new strict new lockdown order coming. And it just goes to show in California how well behaved we are. They're going to have their first curfew since World War II and they're a little unhappy. I would say really unhappy. Rioting, burning cars, looting, blowing up bridges over COVID, not over race. This isn't a Black Lives Matter, Antifa Dutch version of outrage. This is over COVID. We moved to the stay-at-home into purple yesterday. And see, they have a celebrating going to purple, which was the worst level that there even was to begin with. But then they dug a deeper purple level. And now we climbed out of that. We're back on the ground. And we're like, whoo, good. We're not down in that ditch anymore. Cool. Businesses can reopen. Some can that are still around, like restaurants, personal care services, nail salons. They can open in purple. I'm jogging your memory from back in October. The state did release modeling data. It shows local hospital and ICU populations projected to decline over the next 4 weeks. They say over the next 4 weeks, it'll clear up more than 20% of the beds. I can see the chess game, guys. Can you not see the chess game? They have absolutely no reason, because when the governor, listen to these stats. When the governor did the stay-at-home order in December, how many people in Fresno County were in the hospital with COVID? 420. How many were in ICU? 64. How many average cases a new day? 279. When he lifted the order yesterday, we had more people in the hospital, more people in ICU, and averaging more cases per day. But they're projecting over the next 4 weeks that's going to go in the opposite direction. When he lifted it yesterday, we had 575 in the hospital, 95 in ICU, averaging 534 new cases per day. So they're projecting that over the next 4 weeks. Mayor Jerry Dyer said, quote, "It can change if people let their guard down. It can change if people stop socially distancing. It can change if people make the decision not to wear a mask, especially when they're indoors." You know, he's coming out the gate sounding a lot like the business-killing Democrats in Sacramento. It sounds like the what we've been hearing for 11 months. Where's the call to try and save what little that we actually have left right now? Chuck Van Fleet, one of the restaurant owners in town, Vino Grill and Spirits, he said, quote, "By no means does this make it viable for a restaurant to survive." He said, "We have to get to indoor dining at least at 50% in order for them to survive." Well, when does indoor dining come in? Well, let's see. We need to get our case rate down by a lot, and it's a positivity rate was above 12% last week. You know, nobody will tell us what standards they're testing by. I mean, revolt. Open up now and claim your constitutional right. We the people will back you. This has gone on too long. Only one politician in this city that cares about business, City Councilman Gary Bredefeld, has stood up the entire time saying, open up now. Councilmember Carbasi wrote an open up businesses, but it was just kind of more of a slower progression. Paycheck people, quit giving opinions. People that have been shut out, let your opinion be heard. It sounds like the rest, including downtown City Hall. I don't know who's going to stop this. ABC 30 here, Mayor Dyer asking people to stay focused on social distancing and wear masks. He said, in order for us to go from the purple tier to the red tier, we will then allow for indoor dining. We need to get down to a positivity rate of 7%, so we still have a ways to go there. We'll have the mayor on, Project Off-Ramp. I saw today people in orange vest with police officers clearing out some tents on the side of 41. Something good is happening up there, but when it gets back to COVID and City Hall, have they looked into the data, the testing data? Because if what all this teeters on is a positivity rate of 7%, we got to get down to, that means cases. So the World Health Organization said this past week that the PCR tests, which we use here, are creating a lot of false positives, and Fresno County won't tell us how many times they're doing the cycle threshold of this test. Maybe they will tell Mayor Dyer. We need to know this before they base or continue the demise of our businesses, of livelihoods, and it's based on this PCR test. We need to see the data, and they won't give it to the media. Maybe they'll let the mayor see how many cycle thresholds are testing these cases. It's really important to know this as businesses continue to die, as schools are shuttered, as lives are destroyed. We're told it's due to cases. Then, okay, we demand some data. You're gonna kill us. We're at least going to want to know what weapons are you using. We had and why we question, why I question everything at this juncture. We have the current sitting president admit Friday that throughout his entire campaign, he lied about having a plan to stop the spread. Now telling us nothing we can do to change it. Now he tells us. You remember just last week, the Biden administration on CNN said President Trump left them with no vaccination plan. The vaccination plan they did is they basically adopted the former President Trump's vaccination plan. And they're telling us now that nothing they can do with this over the next several months. Well, I remember during the campaign, he said, with 8 months into this, and Donald Trump still doesn't have a plan to get the virus under control. I do. He said he had a plan to get the virus under control. What was the plan? He didn't share his plan because he was lying about having a plan. He had no plan to get the virus under control. And this is what happens when a great country like the United States of America does ballot harvesting. This is what happens when you do mail-in voting. Here was our governor yesterday with the, and I kick myself later for having a good news feeling yesterday when I heard it. Sure it is. It's good news, and I'm glad some businesses do get to reopen. But the fact that I, see, they've conditioned us to this.
Immediately, all the regions in the state of California, call there five regions that we have defined when we established our.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Stay-at-home order last month. All regions effective immediately are no longer in the stay-at-home order and will move back into the blueprint, a blueprint many of you are familiar with, the blueprint we refer to as a blueprint for a safer economy.
It's not going to be an economy. Listen to Joe Biden back at the Democrat National Convention. This was back in August of last year.
As president, the first step I will take will be to get control of the virus that has ruined so many lives. Because I understand something this president hasn't from the beginning. We will never get our economy back on track. We will never get our kids safely back in schools. We'll never have our lives back until we deal with this virus. The tragedy of where we are today is it didn't have to be this bad. Just look around. Canada or Europe or Japan or almost anywhere else in the world. And the president keeps telling us the virus is going to disappear. He keeps waiting for a miracle. Well, I have news for him. No miracle is coming.
Well, he said he also had a plan. What was it? Well, he didn't share it. He knows he was lying about it. Now saying nothing we can do about it. But here's a little mumbling. And if anybody out there can figure out what his, I guess this is Joe Biden from today. If anybody can figure out what he's actually saying.
We talked a lot about with the governors about what the immediate needs are. We're going to employ the Defense Reconstruction Act to be able to go out there and.
I'm sorry, this is old during the campaign. But he's still just as silly. Listen.
Dictate companies build and do following things. We need much more testing. We need much more masking. We need gloves. I asked the National Governor Association through the Governor Cuomo and the ones on the line to let us know what their shortages are.
It's called a governor in New York. That's the first shortage he should let you know. And here's the cherry on top of the COVID crisis and why we need a new governor. I take Gray Davis. I'd even take Jerry Brown back, and that says a lot. How many major screw-ups can a state government make before somebody says, something is really not right here? Unemployment fraud in California since the scandemic began. You think it's $1 billion in fraud? You think it's $2 billion? $5 billion? Oh, no, it's higher. A lot higher. The exposed theft in California Democrat state government. And we're going to talk to a guy that's looking like he wants to change it. He wants to run for governor. Former San Diego mayor. We'll be talking to him, Kevin Faulkner, bottom of the hour.
Trevor Carey, Power Talk, 96.7 and AM 1400. The Trevor Carey Show on Power Talk, 96.7 and AM 1400.
Former San Diego Mayor, Mr. Kevin Faulkner, going to be on the show. He's launched a gubernatorial exploratory committee. Normally they do that to see if, you know, are people upset at the current guy. I'm going to tell him, hey, wait, why waste the money on that? Just jump on in. Get on in the deep end. Let's go. We only got less than 2 years, right? It's already started. And another reason to put up on the wall of why Governor Face Mask Gavin Newsom does need to leave and why Democrats should be equally as outraged. We have paid out, ready? I told you it's more than $5 billion. It's $11 billion worth of fraudulent unemployment claims. Boy, couldn't that have helped some small businesses right now, right? Couldn't that have helped build some roads right now, right? California Labor Secretary Julie Sue said it represents about 10% of all payments that went out for unemployment. Guys, that's probably one of the biggest robberies in the history of the world. $11 billion, right? You hear of artwork being stolen, you know, Ocean's 12 or whatever, kind of things that happen. $11 billion? Well, it's not as much as Donald Rumsfeld the day after 9/11 admitting. Go look at this one. CBS, ABC, they all covered it. He said the Pentagon can't account for a missing $2.3 trillion. So, you know, government on occasion, you know, loses money, right? $11 billion worth of fraudulent unemployment claims. And they said, get this, the percentage is likely to go higher. Another 17% of the dollars that have been paid out, more than $19 billion, are considered suspicious. A large number of that could be confirmed fraud as well. We recalled Governor Gray Davis over a gas tax. DMV. That's right, it was. But it was after, I remember I had a Ford Excursion at the time, and that thing got like U-Haul mileage. And I was like, and he was just going to jack it. And we all got upset. Everybody in California got upset about that. Hey, Davis, sniff my SUV gas. That was the bumper sticker I wanted to put on my big ride back then. But yeah, he was gone. He was gone. And here we have, they're saying could be up to $19 billion gone, and we're not going to get rid of him. Let's see here. The California Labor Secretary said there's no sugarcoating the reality. California did not have enough security measures in place. Guys, that's the Sopranos-like stuff. Come on. They said most of the fraudulent claims made through the federally funded Pandemic Unemployment Assistance Program, designed to provide unemployment to people who didn't qualify for traditional unemployment, like independent contractors, small business owners, the mob, the Italian mafia. I mean, go wherever you want to go. Chinatown gangs. They said recipients could get up to $750 a week in benefits. Now, it just wasn't those of us on the outside. There were some guys that didn't want to be released from prison during COVID because they were using contraband cell phones inside a prison to illegally acquire unemployment benefits for themselves and people on the outside. This scam was going on in prison, and they said it totaled $2 billion worth. Our money. Look at it as your money stolen by inmates who are inside prison. Billions of dollars siphoned off. The SACB article said it was siphoned off by organized cyber criminal rings operating out of Nigeria, Russia, and elsewhere. A lot of sophisticated schemes out there. Okay. This Secretary, California Labor Secretary, is reportedly to be nominated as Deputy U.S. Labor Secretary by Joe Biden. And do you know, ready for this one? Ready to fall over? If you, please put both hands on the wheel. You know where they put the blame for the fraud problem? You got it. You know it's California.
I love you folks very much.
Yeah, the Trump administration. That's what they actually stated. The California Labor Secretary Julie Sue, I quote her, they did not provide adequate guidance or information to protect against fraudulent rings state by state. So it was former President Trump's administration's fault that California to date has lost $11 billion in the unemployment fraud. Guys, that is just that right there is not, if that's not enough reason to go ahead and sign that recall Newsom thing. I tell you, I don't know what is. Well, he's launched a gubernatorial exploratory committee. Former San Diego mayor, Mr. Kevin Faulkner. He's going to be on the show next. Hey, man, I tell you, election season's already started for 2022. Do you feel it? Everybody's like, no. Can we at least get through Valentine's and Easter? No, we can't.
The Trevor Carey Show. Power Talk 96.7 AM 1400 and the iHeartRadio app. The Trevor Carey Show on Power Talk 96.7 and AM 1400.
Hey, I'm excited about this interview. Former San Diego mayor, he's launched a gubernatorial exploratory committee. Great to welcome to the Valley via the airwaves here, Mr. Kevin Faulkner. Welcome, sir.
Trevor, great to be with you, my friend. Thanks for having me.
Hey, good. Over my years of talk, I've learned a little bit about politics, but I got to ask what might be a simple question. What is an exploratory committee? What do they do? What are you looking for out there?
Well, it's the first step. It allows you to organize, raise money. And I will tell you, Trevor, having just finished up two terms as mayor of San Diego just about a month ago, I can't tell you how many people across this state are ready for a change at the top with a new governor. I was pretty proud of how we did things in San Diego, how we got homelessness down, how we did not defund the police, how we did things right. So this committee is the first step. And I will tell you, as you see the momentum, as you were just talking, as you see the momentum across the state of California, this is driven by Democrats, independents, and Republicans who understand the sense of urgency that we need to, with a change of leadership in Sacramento.
That's right. When it gets down to all our livelihoods, the D, the R, the N.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
Laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Independent, and a lot of people out there that might not have ever been involved in politics who have been crushed in this state will decide to get involved with politics. So it's a great time. Mr. Faulkner, let's go back. A lot of people here in the Valley know your name, know you're down in San Diego. But let's go back in your life. And your career, it's really logical steps. You know, a lot of people say, well, I ran this on this little board and I'm going to run for governor. To me, a lot of times it's too big of a leap that. But you started out and explained city council, mayor, now the exploratory committee. But take us back. How'd you get involved in politics?
Yeah, that's right, Trevor. Well, I'll tell you, I think it was my folks when I was a kid growing up. They always encouraged me to get involved. And they were involved in my hometown, which is in Oxnard, California. And look, I went to San Diego State grad, got involved, ran for council, won two terms there, and then got elected two terms as mayor. Really, Trevor, on a platform of reform and on a platform of shaking things up. And when I, look at the things that we were able to do in San Diego, in a city, by the way, that, really mirrors the, political demographics, party registration, et cetera, of the entire state. I was able to run, get elected. The whole time I served, I had a Democrat majority city council. Yet I was able to have some pretty significant reforms, as I talked about, on housing, on homelessness. We were the only county, Trevor, where homelessness went down by double digits because of the strong positions I took to get people off the street and to get people off the street for good. So,
excuse me for interrupting, but a lot of people here in Fresno, we don't really have a problem with homelessness. I'm kidding. It is crazy. It's off the charts. It's all everybody is talking about. Let me ask you, how did you guys handle it in San Diego? We tried a no camping ordinance here, but the Ninth Circuit overturned it. So that really opened up the floodgates to what are now really KOA campgrounds on our freeways.
Well, that's unacceptable. And we had to deal with a lot of the same things. And I said, okay, if I think we have an obligation to help folks get off the street. I picked the locations for our shelters. I established five new shelters in San Diego. But I also said, Trevor, I said, look, if we're going to provide those services, you have an obligation to use them. I felt so strongly about it that I created a new division within the San Diego Police Department called the Neighborhood Policing Division. Again, with one goal: how do we get people off the street? How do we get you the help and the support that keeps you off the street? But I did not allow tents on the sidewalk when I was mayor, Trevor, because if you allow tents on your sidewalk, you are condemning somebody to die on a tent in your sidewalk. We're better than that. We're better than that as San Diegans. We're better than that as Californians. And so it was a pretty significant change of an approach. Again, that we will help with the shelter, with the bed, with the services, but we're not going to let you live and die in a tent on the sidewalks. And that was one of the reasons that we were able to be a leader and to have homelessness go down by double digits in San Diego because of that approach.
Yeah. I for so many years, we have thrown so much money at this problem. And right before Christmas, I read something here in local media. We also in Fresno have a division, like you talked about, where the police and the homeless, and they go out. And it was a report before Christmas that only 1% of the transient, I call them transient panhandlers, because homelessness, that's such a broad category. But the transient panhandlers that are out camping, only 1% accepted help. So we can spend money on the shelters, but I'm realizing it's a lifestyle choice. That 99% say, no, we're good. I mean, the weather's bearable. So I think it's a lifestyle.
Well, and I'll tell you, and that's why when it comes to enforcing quality of life, when it comes to ensuring that you're not only going to help the folks that are out there, but also help our property owners, our folks that are, in our neighborhoods, is what do we accept and what do we not accept? And I've been very, very, very straight up about this, which is, look, we want to help people. But we're also, if we provide that opportunity to help, we have to insist that you use it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the fundamental difference in philosophy that when we started this in San Diego. I think that's why it made that significant difference. That's the approach, Trevor, that we need to do up and down the state of California. To say that it's okay to sleep in a tent on the sidewalk, to sleep in a tent under a freeway, it's not okay. We're better than that.
Well, the difference in philosophy is on display right now. I can already see the campaign commercials on TV showing the visual difference. A quality of life is so true. And, quality of life means that companies no longer want to hold their big events or their conferences in San Diego or San Francisco. They're leaving to go other places. If you do decide to run for governor and do win, how will you stop the hemorrhaging of big businesses, which mean jobs for a lot of folks here in California?
Well, you're right on that. And the reality is, as we are seeing, not only big name corporations that are fleeing the state, but so many other folks that are saying, because of California's business climate, because of what we're seeing coming out of California, they're looking at leaving. And look, my position is very clear. We want you to stay because we're going to have new leadership and we're going to make a difference. And how about a governor, Trevor, that says, we support business, we support jobs, we want to make it easier for you to be successful in California. How about a governor that
and he proved it. The French Laundry, that's a business. He supported that.
Exactly.
Cut him a break.
Instead of saying, hey, what about, and instead what we saw, as you've been talking about, the past, election cycle we had this fall. Instead, what we saw on the ballot was the largest tax increase in California history that would have affected virtually every small business in a commercial space. And to California's credit, we said no to that, right? We said, no, enough's enough. We need to actually have a business climate that says, we want you to start a business in California. We want you to be successful. And it's our job to help make you do that, not tax you out of this state to other areas.
Crime, law and order, it kind of, homelessness kind of goes underneath that umbrella. But we've really seen, and I even with my own eyes with what now I go, well, I need to call the city about that, but that I see on the freeway or something that they should, I don't even think anymore. I saw a fire the other day going, like a campfire going, nobody around it. Back in the past, I thought, huh, that's strange. I just drive by it now. We look at it. That quality of life has dropped off. And also with, you know, we had Prop 47, 57, Sanctuary State. Now with the COVID laws, where I think for the first 6 months, you could carjack somebody, slap your grandma, get arrested, and be released that night. Elder abuse and carjackings where we were letting people out. I mean, that to me, you know, personal safety, again, is not a Republican, Democrat, independent thing. You can pound him over the head on this because people desire it in a big way to feel safe in this state.
Well, of course. And as I said, you know, when I was mayor for two terms, you know, it begins and ends by being a safe city, every city in California. And Trevor, look, I'll tell you, when, you know, I look back this summer, and yes, I had several hundred protesters out in front of my house yelling to defund the police and all of that. And I said, absolutely not. I increased the police budget. Why? Because I want to make sure that we have the best men and women that are out there protecting us, who are wearing the badge, that we have enough of them, that we give them the proper training. And that requires investment. And when I left as mayor just a couple of months ago, we had the, you know, the 10-year highest that we've ever had in police staffing. That's incredibly important. And guess what? Democrats want safe cities. Independents want safe cities. Everybody, Republicans want safe cities. And so this is not a partisan issue. This is a common sense issue. And for those that want to go down the path of defunding the police, they're just flat out wrong.
And the ones that want to defund the police, I don't say I love the stories, but it shows the hypocrisy of them calling the police, you know, a month later. Please help me. I need the police. You know, these city council members from Minneapolis and whatnot. Let me ask you, Mr. Faulkner, and my guest is Kevin Faulkner, former San Diego mayor, launched in a gubernatorial exploratory committee here in California. What's the best advice to give to local politicians, city council members, board of supervisors, and having to deal with everybody calling them and being upset, but they got to go along with what this governor, well, they say they got to go along with what this governor's doing with all the COVID and killing the jobs. What's the best advice if Republicans and sane-minded Democrats do want to stand up?
Well, you got some good people there, Trevor, and I will tell you, the advice is very, very simple. Stand up for your beliefs, because guess what? When you talk in common sense, the public supports it and believes it. And a lot of what I did, it wasn't about partisanship. It was about leadership. And leadership is about doing the right thing, going out and winning the argument. And when you win the argument, you win the vote. That's how it works. And look, I think when we have seen what has happened in California, how we are going the wrong direction, the fact that our businesses are still closed, the fact, Trevor, that we are the worst state in the nation right now for vaccine distribution. We should be the best state. We're probably the most innovative. We are the most innovative state in the country. And to see this happen is just unacceptable. And lastly, I would just say, you know, as a father with two kids, our kids need to be back in school right now. And we have to safely reopen our schools. And it's going to take all of us to do that, to keep pushing for what's right. We do not want to see our California kids fall behind because of what's happening. So as you can tell, I feel pretty strongly about it, pretty passionately about it. And I think Californians are ready for a change. And I'm looking forward to helping to bring that change to us.
Well, indeed. Well, love to have you as your exploratory committee comes back and says, hey, people want you to run. Then come on up for a studio visit. I think I checked on highspeedrail.com. You can be from San Diego to Fresno, hour and 15 minutes, I think, right?
Somehow, Trevor, I don't think that's ever going to happen, my friend.
I don't either. Well, listen, Mr. Faulkner, thank you for this invite or first meeting here. Appreciate it. And if people want to come out the pocket to knock it and say we need Governor Newsom out of there, direct them in that that money direction.
Now, like it, look, I think the recall is gaining strength, as you know, all across the board. If folks are interested in any of the things that I've talked about today, they can go to kevinfaulkner.com. We're really getting a lot of interest up and down the state. And as I said before, there's a real sense of urgency for a change, and I think we're ready to do it.
Now, in closing, would you rather run against a non-recalled Newsom, or you don't know if he got recalled what all would happen at that juncture? It could be somebody else stepping up.
Yeah, look, we'll be ready to go. I mean, I think that
either way,
you're seeing is, and you're seeing the strength and momentum of the recall, I think, is indicative of why our state's on the wrong track, and people are ready for a change.
Yeah, I think he's worried about the recall. That's why he said, okay, we'll let you go outside and eat at a restaurant when it's 28 degrees in Fresno. I think he thought that was a good thing to do for us. Former mayor, thank you, sir, and we look forward to further discussions here.
Thank you, Trevor.
Thank you. There he is right there, his exploratory committee. You know they're going to come back and say, they want you to run. Nunes and Valadao both have announced challengers. Election 22 has begun. I'll give you the challengers' names next.
The Trevor Carey Show, Power Talk, 96.7 and AM 1400. Trevor Carey on Power Talk, 96.7 and AM 1400.
Hey, we just saw this video, found this video. We're going to have it up after 4 o'clock. Check back and check this out at powertalk967.com. Under my name, on air, Trevor, the blog's right there. You can see all these incredible videos. Incredible, I do say, videos. And this is one of these that you need to see. I'm going to create theater of the mind here. You have a guy, I don't know, in his 60s maybe, just a normal dude, shorts at some little convenience store in Texas. Looks like he's the only guy in the store, doesn't have a mask on. I guess maybe they called the cops. I don't know if they called the cops or where the cop just went in there and told him, but he tells him, hey, it's an order here. You need to have your mask on. He kind of said something back to him, turned, started like he's leaving, walking to the door. And listen to this.
Where's your mask at?
What mask?
The mask that you're required to wear by city ordinance.
Oh, I don't have one.
You need to step outside till you can get one.
Really?
City ordinance, sir. You not see the sign?
Like your mask is really working.
It's still a city ordinance. Leave the property or you get a citation, period. Don't argue with me. It's real simple.
You know what?
It's real simple. I don't care what the governor order is. It is a city ordinance to step outside.
Did you take the mask off?
No, I pulled it up because it was slipping.
No, it was exposed.
Dispatch, start me another unit. I'm going to have to detain one. Put your hands right here.
No, sir. I'm not going to be detained.
Yes, you are.
He's outside the store right now, and he was backing up and walking out. He wasn't standing defiant in the store.
We'll tase you right now. You are in violation, and I gave you a lawful order. You have a weapon. Put your hands up now.
Here.
Dispatch, he's armed. Have the unit step it up. I've got him at taser.
And in Texas, you can wear your gun on your holster. You can be armed. And he never went for it. He was not acting like he was going to go for it. This officer was in the wrong.
Get your hand up now. Dude, you're just dumb. You should be listening.
And I know this sounds like there's a guy that's not complying with police. That's why you have to see it. You need to see this video. He went along with him. Anyhow.
Don't move. You move again, I'm going to drop you.
Oh, yeah. And then he calls in at the end of the video there and says, non-compliant. As the guy standing there calmly, hadn't moved, with his hands on top of his head, all because of a mask. Chris Mathis, a former Fresno City Council member returning to Valley politics, San Joaquin Valley Sun writes, his first venture since 01 in the Valley, he's going to challenge Valadao. He filed with the Federal Election Commission, first Republican to challenge Valadao since he first won his seat in 2012 in the House. I spoke to him today. He's going to be on the show Friday. Served in City Hall from 97 to 2001, and many of you know this man, alongside Councilmember Bredefeld, unsuccessful run for mayor in 2000, returned to the private sector. San Joaquin Valley Sun says here to run his firm, Oro Financial, in 2018, returned to politics, took a plunge to the New Mexico Public Relations Commission, nearly losing out in that primary. Then he took a stab at then representative from New Mexico, a Democrat, went against, but came in last place in a field of three for the GOP nomination. So Alex Havley in San Joaquin Valley Sun, that's the background. He'll be on Friday at 3:30 in studio. Fresno B, Kate Irby, she loves to write about Nunes. She's national McClatchy. And she says, Fresno Democrat Phil Arbayo announces plans again to challenge Nunes, saying he's ripe for an upset following the Capitol riot and potentially redrawn districts here that could dilute Nunes's support. Miss Irby writes, the 2020 election, Nunes won by 8 points, entering his 10th term, raised more than $26 million to defeat Arbayo. Both of Nunes' closest reelection campaigns occurred during the Trump administration. She's going to keep that going. Let you know, Nunes voted against impeaching Trump. Now, Phil Arbayo says that Nunes's vote on impeachment and the election results are the main reason he decided to run a second time. Oh, one thinking about it. Up until last few months, he said, I didn't feel like it was right to continue to hang back. It wasn't a decision I thought would make this early, but we got to keep him accountable. He raised $5 million to try and unseat Nunes. That's a pretty big amount for a first-time candidate. But I hate to tell you, Phil, that was Trump derangement syndrome money. How much did Nunes? He spent four times the amount Arbayo did in 2020 and still had $10 million left in the bank that he can use in 2022. Arbayo had 30,000 left at the end of 2020, but we're not going to know what the district is going to look like, the redistricting, right? Right. California could lose at least one congressional seat after the census. And that's why President Trump tried so much to have illegal aliens left out of the census, because it all applies to redistricting. But I guess the amount of illegals moving into California superseded by the amount of people leaving California. So when you lose people, you lose congressional districts. That's why we're just talking to former San Diego Mayor Kevin Faulkner about there. People are hightailing it out. Big companies leaving. Regular Joe, Jose, Sally's, and Jennifer's are taking off. I mean, it goes all the way from Elon Musk to folks saying, I'm just going to go to South Dakota. That's right. Arbayo has the endorsement of Andrew Janz, still the deputy district attorney. He raised $9 million challenging Nunes in 2018, Kate Irby says, as well. This is, so there we go. Tell me 2022 hasn't started yet. I'm not going to say 2022. That's too much of a mouthful to say for the next 2 years. I'm just going to say 22. We know what we're talking about. 22. What did our bio say? We got to get the economy back up and running and get our kids back in school. Who does that sound like? That sounds like, right?
I love you folks very much.
That's exactly who that sounds like, all during COVID, right? The CDC 5 months ago said, open up schools. Dr. Fauci says, open up schools. But schools don't listen to the CDC. They don't listen to Dr. Fauci. Unless it's something that they agree with, I guess. I guess they could turn around and go, hey, you're the same way. But it's obvious. Schools need to open up. Our kids are dying on the vine. Some of them literally. This is wrong. We're going to talk to Nick Papagni of the Pag Meter Show and also Buller coach Don Arax. Let them play. We're talking about it next right here.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.